Hello and welcome to IG's Decoding the Markets. With me on the pod today is Daniel Lacalle, CEO at Tresis, and IG's senior market analyst, Josh Mahoney. And we're here to talk about the outlook for the European economy and the risk of a potential recession. So, Daniel, if I could start with you, I mean, what does the economic data indicate about the current strength of the European economy to you?
I think that so far the data is quite poor. Obviously, the manufacturing data is very weak, obviously, and clearly in contraction. The services data is much better, but it's pretty evident that the weakness of manufacturing is moving into the service indices, as we have seen in the last couple of months. So I think that as the economies start to see a little bit less of a push from the external sector, from the export side of the economy, and the weakness in internal demand becomes more obvious due to the aging of population, I think that it's very likely that we can see that those economies start to get a little bit worse into the next two quarters.
Now, Josh, a technical recession is actually expected in Germany in the third quarter. We know, of course, this is an export-led economy. I mean, what's driving the economic decline and how bad do you think it could get?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, ultimately, Germany is the bellwether for the Eurozone. So when you're looking at strength within the Eurozone, you're, of course, going to see Germany outperforming. At the moment, we're seeing the flip side of that, of course, with the German economy really leading the wider group lower. Everyone, of course, is going to be talking about the potential detrimental effects that the US-China trade war has had. And of course, there is the possibility of this really snowballing in terms of the US and EU. I think it's really interesting to note that we have, of course, got this massive tie-up in terms of the Chinese demand for German goods in particular. And that, of course, is going to be something that is going to really play into the manufacturing base within the German economy. So I think that, you know, when you're looking at the manufacturing sector as a whole, you're, of course, going to be looking at Germany. And when you're looking at the recent trade war, I think that it's not necessarily something that's going to be going away quite yet. Certainly given the fact that we've, of course, now started to see the whole $7.5 billion worth of tariffs potentially levied from the US on the EU.
Yeah, now, of course, that trade war likely to be one of those key headwinds for the European economy. Another one, Daniel, of course, could potentially be Brexit. To what extent do you think Brexit is likely to weigh or is weighing on the European economy?
I think that more than having an impact on the economy right now, I think that what it is definitely doing is having an impact on potential growth. And if we look at, for example, foreign direct investment, gross capital formation, hiring decisions, many of those have been postponed at least until there is some clarity about the whether there's going to be an agreement or whether there's going to be a hard Brexit. But I would separate the slowdown of the Eurozone from Brexit because I think that there are very evident internal issues happening in the Eurozone economy that are more, the drivers of the current slowdown. And in particular, it's that most of the governments have abandoned all structural reforms and bet it all on monetary policy. And that obviously, you know, helped for a very little period of time and then faded away.
So, Josh, on the topic of monetary policy, we know the ECB President-elect Christine Lagarde is poised to take over from Mario Draghi. I mean, what do you think her appointment is likely to mean for monetary policy in the Eurozone?
Yeah, I mean, this sort of changing of the guards comes at a particularly opportune moment. It does feel like the ECB has pretty much run out of ammunition. And really, the tone and the outlook from the ECB has to shift under Lagarde. I think it's probably likely to do so. I think there's got to be more of a focus on structural reforms and sort of modernization of infrastructure, more fiscal spending and more ownership of a country's own problems. Like Daniel was alluding to, people have often put all their chips in the basket of the ECB, essentially rescuing their economy. But really, there's a feeling that the ECB can't do much more. And so I do think that Lagarde's job is almost going to be one of a sort of mediator and work in the political side of the Eurozone as much as an economist.
So, Daniel, do you echo Josh's view there? Do you think there isn't much more that the ECB can do? Because, of course, we've been seeing this shift towards more dovish monetary policy in the Eurozone. I mean, what are you expecting from the ECB in the coming months?
I completely agree with Josh. The ECB has exhausted all of its tools. Bringing interest rates further down to more negative levels is definitely not going to help. Actually, it's just showing signals of being quite negative for the financial system and for the economy in general. It is already repurchasing all of the maturities of sovereign bonds, and at the same time added another 20 billion a month of open-ended repurchases. So we cannot expect much more from monetary policy. I think that those tools have been completely exhausted, TLTROs, etc. I think that, as Josh was mentioning, if anything, what the latter part of the period of in which Mario Draghi has been president missed was actually what he was very good at the very beginning, which was to condition monetary policy to structural reforms and to governments actually helping the monetary policy achieve something of improvement in growth.
So, I mean, Josh, does that mean that the outlook for European equities looks shaky if we're not going to have more support in terms of monetary policy? Where do you essentially think we go next for the equity market?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think there's been more of a tie-up between equity pricing and sentiment, and certainly global sentiment when it comes to markets, than the economic side of things. Of course, when you're seeing the deterioration in terms of GDP figures throughout the Eurozone, yet you're seeing stocks continue to rise more recently in particular, it really does allude to the fact that people are really looking towards that potential deal between the US and China and thinking this is almost the beginning of the end of the slowdown and reason for everyone to get very excited. So, you know, I would be hesitant when it comes to mainland European stocks, quite frankly. Certainly, if we did start to see that turnaround in terms of the growth picture, then you're at least seeing the fundamentals following suit. But, you know, I think for the time being, you know, there's probably going to be some sort of interest in buying into maybe a sort of construction sector, that kind of thing, if we were to see these fiscal reforms. But certainly I would be wary.
And Daniel, very finally, where do you see the opportunities in Europe right now in terms of investing?
Well, I think that if you separate the stocks between those that are very exposed to the cycle and that have bought profits abroad at very high multiples, and those that are in the sectors that benefit from fiscal policy, actually, that's where you see some opportunity. So what you basically need to do, in my opinion, is to sort of avoid the value traps that the companies that look optically cheap, but that face headwinds in terms of earnings estimates and also of the weakening of the global economy. But you have other companies that are doing phenomenally well within Europe and that are more exposed to things like, for example, renewable energy. They're just doing very well. There are something to do with infrastructure. So actually, I would be looking more at buying into the expensive but quality rather than the optically cheap but value trap.
All right, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks so much to my guests, Daniel Lacalle, CEO at Tresis, and IG's senior market analyst, Josh Mahoney. I'm Victoria Scholar, and thanks for listening to IG's Decoding the Markets.